Please sit down. This is an unusual sermon for us. It's inspired by church history. 500 years ago, the European Reformation was sparked into life by Martin Luther, pinning some controversial discussion topics to his university church door, which, thanks to the new printing presses, went viral in Germany. We in the Church of England, I think, ought to recognise our roots are in that Reformation. The Reformation which brought the Bible translated into our own language, services in people's mother tongue, good hymns to sing with enthusiasm, and much, much more which we take for granted, but which was won by the efforts and sacrifice of many Europeans like Luther 500 years ago. To fit in with our mini-series, this sermon's title is Born in Turmoil. We've had Jesus born to die and born to suffer. Jesus was also born in times of turmoil. Luther was born in times of turmoil. And there are some commentators who believe we're finding ourselves moving into great times of turmoil in our own times. So this is not just history, it's history with a purpose to help us. To help us to live in times of turmoil. With faithful commitment to God, despite upheavals in our society and beyond. With a clear understanding of the gospel in the face of such a confusion of ideas, and with boldness and a clear conscience in the face of forceful threats from different directions. And finally, with imagination to make the most of new technology, because that's certainly what Luther did. The printing press had recently been invented, and he knew how to make the most of that new medium. Well, Jesus was born in times of turmoil. The Roman Empire had recently taken over his part of the world. And soon after he died, as he predicted, Jerusalem was totally destroyed. It was a great time of turmoil he lived in. Martin Luther lived in times of turmoil, including the rise of nationalism, the rejection of a Roman Catholic Western European superstate under a corrupt papacy, great technological leaps forward, and big changes in society and communication, and Muslims invading large areas of Europe. We live in times of turmoil that in some ways are rather similar. The rise of nationalism, the rejection of a European superstate by many, new advances by Islam, technology and society changing fast. And so it's good to ask, how can we be faithful to God, have a clear proclamation of the gospel, because that's what Luther did, with boldness and a clear conscience and imagination to use the new technologies well. Well, here's a story of Martin Luther. I don't know how much you know. Sorry if you know a lot. But I guess that most of us don't know that much. Martin Luther was born to parents of humble means in Eastern Germany. He was brought up a Roman Catholic in very religious times and was all set to train as a lawyer. When one day, traveling alone, he experienced a terrible thunderstorm. And having come close to death, he promised God he would become a monk. And so he joined the Augustinian friars. He studied and rose to become professor of theology at the new university in Wittenberg. And over 3 years in his early time as professor, he taught through the books of Romans and Galatians and began to realize a more proper understanding of the Bible, which transformed his faith. And the first reading that was read to us today was key to that understanding, where it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and following, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith." So he thought hard about the issue of justification by faith, which is what he ended up calling it. He had been depressed that being righteous didn't seem like good news. Trying to be right all the time, it was a sort of gospel of fear and frustration. However much good we do, he thought, it always seems insufficient, not good enough. But then he saw it as he preached through these books for his students. The righteousness talked about here is a gift from God, not learnt or earned, but imputed, given as a gift and received by faith. And this was good news after all. The gospel was about freedom after all. And so verses like this in Romans and Galatians really came to life for him, and he realized what was being said. We are given righteousness and receive it by faith. And then we're so thankful that devotion to Jesus and good works for others flow from our gratitude. That's what Christian faith is, he realized. And that's why it works such a brilliant transformation in people's lives. That is the power of God for salvation. That's the gospel. Having realized this, Luther also realized how wrong the Pope was in lots of matters. Now, in his time, there was already great disgruntlement with the Pope from many German people, not least because the Pope was raising a lot of money from the German people to build a new church called St. Peter's in Rome. It's still there. He set up a scheme that preachers would go around telling people to give money in order for their dead relatives to be released from purgatory, which was wrong on all sorts of levels. It was wrong because purgatory is a wrong idea. In the Bible, there's no waiting room for hell where you are punished for things while a decision on your final destination is pondered. It was wrong. So the rich papacy was taking money from poor German people for a posh new church building in Rome, based on a wrong belief about salvation. Because salvation is free. Paying money doesn't help. It was all a con. Luther was a professor, so his way of testing his new views was to arrange seminars. And the way in which you arrange seminars was to put the subjects to be discussed on your church door, the university church, nailed there. So he wrote his ideas as 95 theses and in order to let his students know the seminar topic. Then some enterprising printer got their hands on it, published these theses, and that's when it went viral. Luther's ideas began to spread fast. The Roman Catholic leaders in Germany reported Luther to the emperor. And the Pope, not long after, declared him a heretic. The emperor called him to recant. But his local duke supported Luther. and so the emperor couldn't harm him. And Luther continued to write tracts which were read far and wide. And alongside the tracts on these little printed sheets, he added witty cartoons. There's one which depicts the Pope with an ass's head playing the bagpipes, which was a sort of Punch. Do you remember the magazine Punch? I think it's a bit like that, isn't it? It's a sort of cartoon with mockery of his foolishness and the sound that he's making. People loved it. You can imagine. Not just the mockery, but the good Bible teaching alongside it, and the delight of discovering the gospel as good news, justifying the sinner by grace and grace alone, a free gift through faith and faith alone. As people believed God's word and God's word alone, the Bible alone, as their authority, and responded with gratitude. Henry VIII, whose life was sort of parallel with Luther's, similar years, Henry VIII fancied himself as a bit of a theologian, and he joined in the condemnation of Luther, which shows how far Luther's ideas were spreading. And in recognition of this, the Pope gave Henry the title Defender of the Faith, which our monarch still has. Well, the Pope wanted rid of Luther, but whenever he came close to danger, Luther's friends hid him in a remote castle. And the first time was in a castle at Wartburg, where nobody knew he was there, and he just got on with translating the New Testament into German. So he continued his work and writing good hymns to popular tunes, and continuing to communicate the truth of the Bible in tracts, in pictures, cartoons, and through disputations with other famous theologians. When he died, more than half of the German people had left the Roman Catholic Church and become Lutherans. And he inspired other reformers, especially in Switzerland, France, England, Sweden, many other places. He was faithful and effective in times of turmoil. How might we learn from him? Well, I think one thing we can learn and should learn, and certainly our forebears have learnt, is to be committed to the straightforward teaching of the Bible, whatever anyone else is saying. Luther learned that in times of upheaval, having the Bible as our authority is vital. The plain teaching of the Bible keeps us faithful, even if others say the opposite. So it helps that we keep speaking the clear and simple gospel of Jesus. When there are all sorts of conflicting views, many of them very sophisticated, a clear message cuts through the fog. And that helps all sorts of people. So Luther kept it clear and straightforward, being faithful and wanting to help the people. Now, the other thing he did was to be honest and keep a clear conscience. That means that people listen to you and follow you. When he was denounced for his views by the Pope or the Emperor and told to recant or face big trouble, Luther still followed his conscience. There's a famous moment when he was up before the authorities at a disputation called the Diet of Worms, and he's reputed to have said, "Here I stand, I can do no other," when he was accused of the teachings he was giving. even though it was to his cost in the eyes of those around him in the courtroom. The Pope burnt his books, the Emperor tried to bring him harm, but the people loved him all the more and waited eagerly for his next tract because he was honest and true to his principles and kept a clear conscience. Even when others got violent, which was the case in those times as in other times, he refrained from violence and discouraged it in his followers. He was someone who followed St. Augustine and who said, the soldier uses a sword, the parent uses a hand, the preacher uses his tongue. No violence, just a pleasing argument or a witty message or a strong message. That is what he had been brought up to follow, and that is what he did right to the end of his life. These are the things which can keep us standing tall and which win hearts and minds in a time of turmoil. And we do well to learn from Martin Luther, because our times seem to be becoming times of turmoil. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our faithful Christian forebears, and this day we thank you for Martin Luther. Thank you for the gift of him that you gave to the European church and especially the German church 500 years ago. And thank you for the way in which you kept him faithful and true. And Lord, we pray that we might find good inspiration and that we might understand history well for the sake of your good news. Amen.